Open with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. As you're finding your place in your Bible, I just want to take this time to thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be back at Franklin Baptist and doing a sermon, learning how to preach. It's good to do it in front of people that you love and people that admire. And so it's just grateful, and as well, I want to thank Charles for being willing to work with my schedule and his schedule and fitting me in so soon. So it truly is a privilege to be with you. As this whole thing was getting started, I couldn't help but think of a story that Jerry Clower tells. And there was this young man, and he felt the call to ministry. And so the church that he had been raised in sent him out and commissioned him to go to seminary. And his first semester back on Christmas break, the pastor said, "You know, it's only right that we let him preach. I mean, we are the church that sent him off, so we need to let him preach." And so the young man stood there in the congregation, and he said, "God says in the scriptures." Ma said Ledbetter just stood straight up, said, "I ain't gonna listen." Jerry said, "Sit down. You are interrupting the worship service." Marcel said, "Well, Jerry, he's not being himself. He has only been to seminary one semester, and he's then come back, and he thinks he's better than all of us." So I say that as verbal permission. The first time I say, "God, gather up some hymnals and come stone me." With that in mind, I think we need to pray. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for this time to come together to open your word and to learn what you have to say for us today. Speak through me, Lord. Allow me not to be known, but allow your presence to be known. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. I hope you found your place in your Bible by now. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. This is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the believers in Ephesus, a prayer for us today. Verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This is the word of the Lord. Our author Paul in the book of Ephesians wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus in parts to edify and instruct the body of believers. The church in Ephesus was in prime real estate, okay? This was considered to be the largest trading port in all of Asia Minor. It was a booming city. In the real estate industry, we would say, location, location, location. A huge opportunity for the gospel to reach the nations as the nations came to this city. In light of this heartfelt prayer that we just read, you may not have picked up, but Paul here is in prison. He is writing this prayer in prison. Actually, he is speaking this prayer as someone is most likely recording his every word. And Paul took this time while he's in this dark, cold prison to pray for others, to pray for these believers in Ephesus. And I just think if I was in Paul's position, I would be thinking about myself. I would not be praying for other believers if I'm in a cold, chained prison. And so it's just wonderful to see this prayer recorded in Scripture. We need to pray. W.A. Criswell believes that this prayer, this passage of Scripture, is the most meaningful prayer in all of Scripture. It is wonderful we have this prayer in our Scriptures today. It shows us a man of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ pouring out his heart before the Father. Paul prayed for believers' strength in the Spirit, to understand Christ's love, and to have the fullness of God. The same prayer can be prayed and should be prayed for us. We too must ask for strength in the Spirit to have a better understanding of Christ's love and for all of us to be in God. Point number one, we need to pray for strength in the Spirit. At the beginning of verse 14, we read, "For this reason." This statement demands that we look back at the beginning of this letter to see what it is that Paul is praying for. So, for this reason? Well, for what reason? If we were to go back and read the start of Paul's letter in Ephesians 1 and 2, we would read in the first chapter, verse 7, "In Him, Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His glory." Chapter 2, verse 13, Paul addressing the Gentiles, people like me and you, non-Jewish. "But now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So it is for these reasons Paul begins to pray. He is reflecting on the sinfulness of humanity and the perfect work of Christ on the cross. Paul here is praying in verse 14 in a kneeling position, a position of humility. Paul understood his relationship with the Father. He also understood in verse 15 that from God every family, everyone in heaven and on earth were created through Him and by Him. Paul knew who he was and to whom he was praying to. My Old Testament professor, Dr. Mosley, I love this man. I talk about him quite a bit. And at the beginning of each class, we stop and we have prayer. And he goes into a long, drawn-out prayer. And it's beautiful how he does it. He prays often for repentance over our lack of prayer and the pridefulness of a human heart to think that we can do this life without God. A lack of prayer shows our lack of dependence on God. When we pray, we need to reflect before praying, reflecting on the good in which the Lord has done. In prayer, we must remember to honor the Lord and understand the authority in which He holds. We are speaking to the Creator of the universe when we pray. This is what Paul is doing here when he reflects upon the past, present, and future. There is no prayer too large or too small. The Lord wants to have communion with you, to be in a continually growing relationship with Him. What better way to grow closer to God than to talk to Him? Dr. Robert Smith puts it best. He says, "We need to stop talking to God and start talking with God." Jerry Clower yet again tells a story of Uncle Versa and Aunt Pitt, and they were riding the backcountry roads in a single cab pickup. And Aunt Pitt was sitting in the passenger seat, and Uncle Versa was over there driving. And Aunt Pitt said, Uncle Versa knew something was wrong. He said, "Ma, what's the matter?" She said, "Well, Versa, I remember when we were just in love and we would ride these back country roads and we would sit a lot closer together." She said, "Do you remember that, Versa?" He said, "Yeah, Ma, I do." She said, "Well, Versa, what happened?" Uncle Versa looked over from the driver's seat and said, "Well, Ma, I ain't moved." God is saying, "I have not moved. I will not leave you or forsake you." We must be aware of our drifting away and must seek to draw close to our Lord. It is only our sinful human nature and being lazy that we do not take the time to spend with God in prayer. It is critical in the Christian life, all of which is needed to have strength from the Spirit, to know Christ's incomprehensible love, and have the fullness of God. Verse 16, "That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Paul is saying here, according to God's riches. According to. This is not diminishing from what the Lord has to offer, yet it is according to. There is no limit to the riches of God's glory. God has all of the riches. Even if God gives away riches, he still holds all the riches. Romans 11:33, Paul marvels over the depths of the Lord's riches. God is the giver of good gifts to his children. We see this displayed in Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Paul understood this as he prayed for the Ephesian believers, and as we should pray today, to be strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit in our inner being. The heart, or as Paul describes it, our inner being, our true self. This strength from the Holy Spirit in our inner being can never be diminished, never tarnished, nor worn. The never-ending strength from the Holy Spirit living inside of all believers will never give out. Yet the Spirit reaches to the depths of our souls, changing the person where it matters. Paul understood the only way for a person's heart to be changed is through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And it is only through the blood of Jesus one can be saved from the wrath of God. God loved us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took away our punishment for our sins by taking on the punishment for us. Doing so by Jesus living a perfect, sinless life, dying in our place, being raised on the third day, proving that he is the Messiah. The same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit Paul is here praying for us believers to be strengthened with. We need the strength to live a life pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit living inside of us, speaking to us, showing us how to live a life worthy to God. He convicts us when we're headed down a path of destruction, and we must yield to the Spirit's leading, trusting in him to be with us as our comfort and guide. Point number two, we need to pray for Christ to dwell. Starting back in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. The first two words in verse 17, so that, connects for us the message that we just learned in verse 16. So that, those two simple words. When we have the Spirit, we must have the Spirit in order for Christ to dwell. Now, what does it mean for Christ to dwell? When I think of the word dwell, I think of my time on the Outer Banks in Nag's Head. I like to dwell in Nag's Head. I enjoy my stay. I don't want to leave, and quite frankly, I would never leave. I dwell. This word dwell in the Greek language is defined as settling down or making a home. What Paul is saying here for us is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, lives inside of you permanently. Not paying rent, not even making a mortgage, but Jesus has permanently moved into your heart and dwells within you. Yet there's a catch. Did you hear at the end of the verse 17? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It is through faith Christ may dwell. With the Spirit's strength, Christ's indwelling starts with your faith put in Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:20 tells us that Jesus stands knocking, yet we must open the door. As a result of Christ dwelling, what happens? We find the answer at the end of verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. It is from the indwelling of Christ love is produced. And from this love, the Christian life is to be lived. Love to others, love to our enemies, love to the egg people, the EGG people, the extra grace given people. We all have them, but we're called to love them. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:3 that you can be burned as a martyr, but if you did not love, you gained nothing. It is a Christian's personal experience of the love of Christ and working in the Spirit which allows the church to show this love of Christ. A few weeks back, Lee Strobel, who was an atheist turned Christian evangelist, he came to Southeastern to do a two-day lecture series on evangelism. You may have seen the movie that he was a part of, The Case for Christ. And in his story goes that he was trying to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, he studied and researched, and God did an amazing thing. He opened his eyes to see that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ truly did happen. And so he was telling us this story at his church of these peer groups that meet in his church in Chicago for atheists, for people who do not believe or are skeptical of God or skeptical of the church. And these peer groups are led by Christian couples in the church. And this one particular lady, she joined the group. She was a cynical atheist woman, and she was just there to disrupt these peer groups. A few months later, this lady became a Christian. She put her trust in Jesus. And Lee reached out to her and said, "You know, I would love to meet with you and learn more about your story." And she said, "Well, Lee, you know, I joined this group because I wanted to embarrass that Christian couple that was leading these peer groups." She said, "But you know, I would ask hard questions and they would not shy away. I would ask difficult things and they tried to answer." And she said, "You know, I missed a few weeks of the peer group meetings and they called to check on me. And there was one time I was sick and they bought me soup." She said, "I got to see this Jesus that they had talked so much about." She said, "They truly loved me into the kingdom." What a wonderful way to put it, to love someone into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is that love that Paul is praying for us to be rooted and grounded in. Verse 18, "May have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth." Paul here is asking that now we are rooted and grounded in love, we must seek to understand this love that is living inside of us. The ability you have to love others has been given to us through the strength of the Spirit and Christ indwelling in our hearts. We must pray to have the strength to comprehend this love. We learn this love from others and from showing this love to others. This love is an action. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. He gave an action. It has been said, love is not love until it is given away. The church must come together in order to understand the power of whom lives in us. Paul begins praying, what is the breadth and length and height and depth? The measurements of Jesus' love in Paul's prayer shows us the incomprehensible and unmeasurable love of Christ. Christ's love has no limits or barriers. Kent Hudgens puts it best, Christ's love is wide enough for the world, long enough to last forever, high enough to take sinners to heaven, and deep enough for Christ to go to the deepest of sinners. Never forget this. We do not get to decide who is exempt from God's love. The closer we grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and the more we learn to understand the love of Christ. The closer we grow to Christ, the bigger our understanding of the gospel is. We begin to see how Christ's love is best described as being unmeasurable and incomprehensible. This is why Paul is praying for all believers to understand this incomprehensible love of Christ. We must pray for ourselves. We must pray for the believers in this room. We must pray for the believers around this world. And we must pray for the unbeliever that they may too come to know this love. All people have access to the gospel and love of Christ. Point number 3. We need to pray for the fullness of God. And to know verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul continued praying for these believers and for us to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Think about it. How are you to know something that is outside human capability? What is Paul getting at? This is nothing shy of a miracle in the working of the Holy Spirit. Kent Hudgens again explains, "For those who have experienced this love, no words will quite do. It is nothing more to learn. It is always more to learn and experience in Christ's love. Paul's prayer is for us to continue to grow in our relationship and knowledge of Christ." The second part of verse 19, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." When we seek to understand the love of Christ, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. And do not think of this wrongly as I did. It is not all of God in you, but having the fullness of God is all of you in God. From the beginning of this prayer, Paul is leading us towards believers being filled with the fullness of God. In order to be filled with His fullness, one needs strength from the Spirit, one needs Christ to dwell, and one needs to understand the massive love of Christ. It is only then we can be filled with the fullness of God. Paul has prayed for a huge task for all believers. This is Paul's prayer for us, and it should be our prayer. We need to pray. It is nothing we can do without asking for help from God. Prayer is the way to thank, to ask, and to worship our Heavenly Father. Pray for the Spirit and asking Him to strengthen your inner being. Pray for Christ to dwell in your heart. Pray for the understanding and the ability to display Christ's love. A love that gives when others do not deserve it. Pray that the Lord may reveal to us the magnitude of His love. Pray for a longing to know Christ and a longing to obey His commands. Finally, be in prayer that we will be consumed with the fullness of God. Let's pray. God, we pray for Your Spirit's strength in our inner being. We can only do this life if You are a part of it. We pray for Christ to dwell in our hearts. We pray that we understand this love that has been so graciously given to us. May we show this love to others. And may You fill us with Your fullness. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.